And I feel like everyone needs to find the thing that they love, the thing that's gonna carry them through the day, because life is really hard and it's always going to be hard. So you've got to find the thing that you're passionate about.
This is Something from Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. I'm Justin Lewis. Amelia Martins is today's guest.
I write poetry and I teach.
On this week's show, Amelia talks about her first poem, what it feels like to have success as a poet, both the positive side and the negative side, and the different types of ways that she writes poetry, or as she might say, poems show up. Amelia also describes a time that NPR inspired a poem, and finishes the show reading that very poem. What I found to be most interesting about Amelia is how she uses poetry to engage with the world. This became evident after the first question of the interview. Do you remember the first poem that you wrote?
I remember the first poem that I thought of as a poem. And I remember that it was the only way that I could express what I was feeling at the time. And I remember having that conscious thought of, this needs to be a poem. Like, it can't be a story, and it can't be a painting, and it can't be anything else. It has to be a poem. And this is when I'm 12, and the riots are happening in Los Angeles. And I'm living in Ventura, so it's like the next county over. Mm-hmm. And everything is on fire. And my dad works in the movie industry, so he was in the valley. And so I remember just being at home and having the television on and, like, seeing all this smoke outside.
Can we briefly recap what we've seen? We've seen a liquor store and a gas station continue to be looted.
Mm-hmm. We've seen, Dave, can you go back to the intersection?
We've seen rocks and I presume bottles and various things thrown at cars.
And being a kid and not having a good way to process this and writing a poem about it. And I also remember thinking that this was a different way to use language, and it captured what I needed it to do really succinctly. But that was the first time where I was like, oh, this is poetry. This is what this can do, like, in just a couple words. Poetry for me in like the early years of writing was always like out of necessity, out of something that like wasn't so beautiful that I couldn't process it, but that was so terrible that I needed to find out how to hold it in a way. And so language was a way to like to hold things. I guess, I don't know, sort of a survival mechanism.
The development of this survival mechanism is difficult to pin down. She does not have any clear memories of being taught specifically how to write a poem, but she did know.
I had really good teachers. I had some really good teachers, and teachers that were always sharing books that they liked and sharing experiences that they'd had with literature.
And Amelia's home set a context for the appreciation of the use of language.
My parents had a lot of books, and like books on everything, like home repair books, mm-hmm. and religious philosophy books, and some weird fiction and poetry. Like, they had everything, and it was just all out on the shelf, so you could go by and like pick up whatever mm-hmm. strange book like looked interesting. But I don't think anybody had said, this is poetry, or had like steered me towards it. So I don't know how I knew what it was. That's kind of a mystery.
The formulating may be unclear, but how she uses poetry to engage the world continues to be seen. Amelia shared how she was once inspired by two stories on our favorite radio station. She was driving with her daughter on her daily commute when a story on NPR caught her attention.
it was the story of them trying to figure out, these scientists were trying to figure out how to land the Mars rover. And it was, you know, it was going to be a big deal, and we're going to have all these special, I don't know, machines that had never been used this way before to land on this planet. And then the next story, and the juxtaposition is what got me, the next story is they were trying to figure out the best way to close the airport in Texas because Ebola was coming, and we were trying to figure out, like, how you shut this down before it spreads across the United States. And it just blew my mind. I remember just my mind just being like, what? We're going to land on this planet. We're going to land our foreign object on this whole planet. And we're also going to shut down our own airports on our planet because we have this disease that's spreading. Like, does no one else think that this is very strange? And I think probably the car behind me honked. And then I had to drive. I don't know. I guess I'm using some poetry to say, let's stop and look at how weird this is.
Stay tuned to the end of the show, where she'll read the poem. For Amelia, processing, in terms of poetry, is the norm. This explains how part of that writing process actually happens when she is away from pen and paper.
This happened a lot when the girls were really little, that I wouldn't actually have time to sit down and write, so I would have these lines that would come, and I would make myself memorize them. And so I would have like 4 or 5 or 6 lines just going over in my head like throughout the day while I'm doing kid stuff. And then in the moment that I have, I sit down and like get them all down. And they've been rolling around, kind of like rocks getting polished. And they just rolled around long enough as I was memorizing them and changing them a little bit that when I sat down to write it, it was done because it had been just shined. Each piece had been shined while I was thinking about it.
But in the same way the 12-year-old Amelia dealt with an emotionally draining event, she sits down to write about present-day events that weigh down on her. One of the most common topics she makes special effort to write about are women's issues. They are personal not only because of her own womanhood, but also because she has 2 young daughters.
How do I deal with a world that doesn't value half of its population?
And one other common theme for her?
The environment comes up a lot. There's so many amazing things that I want to write about. And some of them come to the surface easier. And some of them I sit down and I say, well, I would like to write a poem about this bombing. And it's a little harder because there's... When it's like historical or factual, then I feel like I have to struggle a little bit more with the reality of the events or the activities and how to be honest and true to those things, but also to create the emotional experience for the reader so that they get what I want them to get out of that thing that maybe that... isn't going to come out of the newspaper article about it. So I have a lot of, that's the other thing I do. Like I gather a lot of information and that I really do use that to draw from because very rarely is the poem just like in space and then it just hits me and I write it. It's usually I'm trying to work through some subject and I read a lot about it and then sort of let it sit in my mind.
To this point, you've talked about subjects that you write about that are pretty heavy, but I've heard you read in public a poem that is much more light and kind of fun. Talk about that side of your poetry.
What poem was that?
Something about your kids that was funny.
Oh, my kids are really funny. Yes, so there's, and those poems show up in my book. Like, there's some really funny poems, but some of them are funny because they're so true. And yeah, that's another side. I'm not sure how that happens. That's a little more mysterious to me, the humor.
So do you set out to write a funny poem, or does it just kind of take on a life of its own?
Yeah, no, I don't think I could write a funny poem. I think it just does it itself. And I think the kids help me a lot with that because they say such weird things. And I think the poems that are really funny are almost word for word just me recording what they said. And so it's not that I'm like really witty or really funny. It's that my kids are really funny and it's just strange little people.
Some of those funny kid poems are included in her first published book. She talked about what that experience was like for her.
I think for me, publication is one form of validation.
Okay.
And it's nice to feel like these poems exist out in the world by themselves in a way that people can access them. So I like to think about my book. It's like, I don't know, anonymous mail. Like, it goes out into the world to somebody I don't know, and they read it in some context that I have no idea about, and they have whatever relationship with the poems that they're having, and it depends on all of these like unknown factors.
For Amelia, it is affirming that her poems are
meaningful beyond, you know, the laundry room where you write it. Like, it goes out into the world and it's significant enough and it speaks to the human experience enough that, you know, there a group of editors was like, other people need this, and it goes out. The poems in The Spoons in the Grass are speaking to people about parenthood, but especially about motherhood and about like trying to deal with the world and small children in a very true way. And so I think there's a bonus to this book for me in that it validated me as a poet because it's my first book, but it also validated me as a human being, mother of children, that like these feelings and this sort of craziness of extreme emotional experiences is valid, and that these things have been felt by other people. And so when I get, you know, an email or reviews written and somebody gets it and they talk about it in a sort of universal way, that's really validating.
Even with all the validation that is involved in having her first published book, she still felt this sense of insecurity. And she describes it as
imposter syndrome. Like, somebody's going to realize that I wrote all of these poems like covered in spit and pee across from my laundry. Like, you know, the washing machine is going behind me. Like, somebody's going to call me out and be like, you're not a poet. You're just a mom who, like, happened to do this. And I know that's a reduction of motherhood, but I'm always worried that somebody's going to know that I just made all of this up.
In addition to this imposter syndrome, Amelia felt pressure to follow up.
What in the world comes after that? Like, what do you do after that?
She started to feel scared that she wouldn't have anything else to say. And maybe even more importantly,
how am I going to deal with the world now? Because I still have to deal with the world. And so if poetry is dead, what tool am I going to use? And like, what other skills do I have? And I think I did a lot of baking. Like, I was trying to like find some other way of functioning. And then all of a sudden, it was summer again, and my brain was free. And we were in North Carolina in Black Mountain, and I'd had a single poem come here and there, and I was trying to just be okay with the fact that single poems were coming, and they weren't part of a thing, which, like, first there was the book, and then there was nothing, and then there was this trickling of, like, single poems. And I'm like, well, maybe all I have is single poems. And then I got this week in North Carolina, and these little girl and the bear poems showed up, and it was like a whole series of them showed up, and I was like, oh, something else is here. I can write about something else. Like, there's this other longer thread is now like unrolling in my mind. And so after that happened, I stopped worrying about it as much. And I'm still worrying about it, but I stopped worrying about it as much. And so for me, the hardest thing is just clearing the clutter of anxiety in my mind and being like, this is what I'm doing now. This is what's coming to me. This is what I'm going to write. I'm not going to worry about what it is, because whatever it is will show up. And when it shows up, like in its complete form, I'll just know that that's what it was. And so if I stop like the chatter of anxiety in my mind, I'll hear something.
Near the end of the interview, I asked her what she would tell the 12-year-old version of herself, the one that wrote the poem to process the riots.
I'd say this, like, be confident in this. You have found your tools. I would tell her that it's a very powerful survival mechanism, but it's also important because it's worthwhile to spend time and energy exploring the human experience and creating those relationships between people across time and across space. And if, you know, you get to a certain level and somebody's interested in translation, like across language even.
And as promised, Amelia finished by reading the poem inspired by the NPR stories mentioned earlier, the landing on Mars and shutting down of an airport due to Ebola. This poem is from Amelia's book, The Spoons in the Grass Are There to Dig a Moat, available from Saraband Booksellers.
It's called Direct Contact. Our daughter wishes on a star. Mama, my body is made of stars. Your body is made of star parts. I wish on a star. On Mars, the engineers are all eyes. All ears. They wait for the last shoe to drop, for a comet that once lived near the sun to return from icy hibernation, for the scientists to read a message of original matter. Why does it matter if Mars was covered in vast, shallow oceans? The curiosity is set down on a red dust ruffle by ropes and rockets. On Earth, the engineers sigh and shuffle their cards. Their next mission, how to seal off airports. First Dallas, then Kennedy.
This has been Something from Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. Check out the Facebook page and Instagram account for more information on the guests, including Amelia and her poetry. This show has been produced by Chad Lampe and me. I'm your host, Justin Lewis. Thanks for listening.